take a look at the different planes. The earliest ones you can fly are the World War I aircraft. Now, they're similar to the Cessna you've been flying, except that they're cockier. The Cessna is stable, real forgiving to a beginner. Now, the Spad and the Camel, on the other hand, were designed to dogfight, so they had to be maneuverable and consequently were a little unstable. They're somewhat underpowered by today's standards, and they don't climb very high, but the men who flew them were real pioneers. These earlier pilots developed most of the stunt maneuvers you see still performed today, and they did it in planes made entirely out of wood and canvas. That took a lot of courage. Still, one of my favorite planes is the P-51 Mustang, the plane that I flew over Europe in World War II. The P-51 was the best American fighter of the war, and she was a dogfighter's dream, equal to anything the enemy could put up against her. With her 2,000-mile range, her terrific speed, and maneuvering, she turned the war around by protecting our bombers all the way to the targets and back. Flying a fighter in those days was different than today. Maneuvering was tighter. There was no fly-by-wire controls, and we didn't have a heads-up display in our cockpits as you do. I wish I'd had as good in my day as you do in Advanced Flight Trainer. Your planes are outfitted with all the modern conveniences, and you get to sit in the comfort of your home or office where it's warm. If you want an idea of what it was like for most of my flying career, go over to the window on a cold morning, open it up all the way, put your feet in a bucket of ice water, and then fly for several hours without relieving yourself. That's how it was. The prop planes are challenging in their own way, but modern jets are a different breed altogether. Working with Ned on Advanced Flight Trainer, we decided people should also get to experience the excitement of high-speed jets. Now, let's face it, they are fun. So Ned went to work simulating supersonic flight. We chose the state-of-the-art fighters like the F-16 and F-18. We even included some unusual designs like the SR-71 and the Space Shuttle so you could fly on the cutting edge of technology. These aircraft fly so high and so fast, it taxes the imagination. The difference among the jet fighters are sometimes subtle, but they're real. Now, Ned made a big effort to accurately simulate the differences between all the airplanes. For instance, the F-16 is a real lightweight. It's quicker and more maneuverable. And the F-18 is an all-weather fighter, more advanced technology. It wouldn't make sense to have both planes in there if your program didn't reflect their actual differences. And you'll find that each model has different characteristics if you're sensitive to them. Having 17 different planes at your disposal is quite an advantage for any pilot. Now, pilots have told me that the part of my career they envy most is the fact that I got to fly more than 180 different types of planes. Now, 180 different planes in one career is really uncommon. A majority of your pilots don't get to fly more than a couple different kinds of planes. I was lucky in that I was a maintenance officer for several years after the war, and part of my responsibilities as a maintenance officer was to test every aircraft that came off the maintenance line. I wasn't a test pilot at all at the time, yet I got to test every plane that came on the base. Most pilots have to wait for seniority to be assigned hot planes. You're lucky, though. All you have to do is hold down the Alt key and press A, and bingo, you're in a new plane. Broad experience makes all the difference. The ideal pilot would know the whole history of aviation through experience, everything from Spads to space shuttles. Every airplane can teach you something, if you're willing to learn. So go ahead, get to know the various planes in Advanced Flight Trainer. Take them out and fly them however and wherever you like. While you're at it, explore the Advanced Flight Trainer world. Get to know where various airports and landmarks are. And use the different viewing modes to get different perspectives on your flight. I always wished I could watch myself fly. For an Advanced Flight Trainer pilot, it's just the press of a button. You get camera zooms and quick cuts, flybys, and views from a chase plane or the tower. Now, it's as if you were the 6 o'clock news team watching your own flight while it's happening. Okay, you can turn me off now for a while, and we'll get back together when you feel ready to let your skills really be tested. You've mastered the controls and you've tried out the different planes. Now you want to find out how really good you are. Now, pilots are naturally competitive. First, you want to pit yourself against other pilots in some air races. The courses are tricky and the competition is always stiff. Every time you complete a course, Advanced Flight Trainer creates a competitor whose performance matches what you just did. You're going to have to beat yourself every time you leave the runway at Reno. Now, my favorite mission in Advanced Flight Trainer is the formation flying section. This is the place to do your aerobatic stunts and practice sticking to another plane's tail in fast and furious chases. Much of the action in the formation flying resembles dogfighting. Aerobatic stunts are really nothing more than refined air combat tactics. Rolls, loops, Cuban eights, and all the other stunts are just means of pursuing and evading other planes. I was trained as a combat pilot, so naturally whatever resembles dogfighting appeals to me a lot. The trick is to get onto your opponent's tail and stick to it. The military pilots call that waxing your opponent's tail. I call it fun. When you get good enough to stay with me, you're really getting good because I've got a lot of experience. At that point, you're ready for the ultimate test of your abilities, the test pilot section. In the meantime, turn off this tape and start with the dead man routine for a real challenge. Was that you scampering after me a while ago? So you think you're a hot pilot now and you need a new challenge? Well, the hottest job around is test piloting. As a test pilot, you investigate the performance characteristics of an aircraft to determine whether or not it meets its specifications. Now, that kind of flying requires real precision. You've got to be able to fly such that your measurements are accurate and consistent. And you're going to find that this is as much a test of the pilot as the aircraft. Testing aircraft is not only demanding, it's very exciting. As a test pilot, you're always pushing the edge of the envelope, trying to find out what the limits of a design are. It's your job to find out things like an airplane's maximum altitude, speed, and rate of climb, and its speed in a stall. There's plenty of opportunity to make mistakes. Now, sometimes those mistakes are fatal. In test piloting, the real hero is the one who survives. I'll give you a good example. In 1953, I was given the assignment of testing the Bell X-1A, the follow-on aircraft to the X-1. And on the X-1A, we were at 80,000 feet, accelerating through 2.2, 2.3, 2.4 Mach number. At around 2.3 Mach number, the airplane began to yaw. Now, the Bell engineers had told us, you know, not to take the airplane beyond 2.3 Mach number because the airplane would become a little unstable. Well, they were right. As we got up to around 2.5 Mach number and ran out of power, the airplane was yawed almost 40 degrees and the dihedral effect caused the outside wing to came up. The airplane flipped inverted, pulled about 3 negative Gs, and then started swapping ends. And at that point, the canopy busted out, my pressure suit inflated, and my face piece fogged up on the pressure suit. Now, fortunately, I was able to find a rheostat that turned up the heat on the face piece and cleared it up. And at that point, I found out the horizontal stabilizer was trimmed full nose down, and the airplane was in an inverted spin. And after going through a lot of wild gyrations, I finally retrimmed the horizontal stabilizer back to neutral and put the controls with the spin direction, which flopped it into a normal spin. At some 25,000 feet, I used opposite rudder and forward stick and popped it out of the normal spin. And then by that time, I had the lake bed spotted. And since I'd spun many, many different kinds of airplanes and had been trained how to recover from a spin in the test pilot school, it really wasn't difficult for me to realize what was going on in the X-1 and flip the airplane from an inverted spin to a normal spin and then recover. I barely remember the next moments because I'd taken quite a beating. But then my head cleared, and I was at 5,000 feet, lining up with the lake bed outside of Edwards Air Force Base. I was gliding in from the other side of Mojave, doing around 270 miles an hour, and I started to believe that I really was going to make it. I put her down a little hard, but let me tell you, no landing was as sweet as that one. Now, that ride in the X-1A is a good example of the qualities a good test pilot has to have. Now, to survive that spin took everything I knew and had ever experienced in a cockpit, so that maybe 1 hour less flying time could have been the difference between drilling a hole or landing safely. Now, experience is the most important thing a pilot can have. One of the last questions many pilots ask before they auger in is, what else can I try? Now, I saved myself by sheer instinct, but a knowledgeable instinct based on hundreds of previous spin tests. Experienced at spinning down to earth, I was less disoriented than others who had done it fewer times. And I made the right moves to save my butt where maybe someone else wouldn't have. You know, there's no such thing as a natural-born pilot. And no matter what your aptitude or talents, becoming a proficient pilot is hard work, really a lifetime's learning experience. Now, for the best pilots, flying is an obsession, the one thing in life they must do continually. Now, I've flown in just about everything with all kinds of pilots in all parts of the world, and there wasn't a dime's worth of difference between any of them except for one unchanging fact. The best, most skillful pilot had the most experience. The more experienced, the better he is, and it's that simple. If I had a choice between dogfighting a less experienced pilot in a better airplane than mine, or a more experienced guy in an airplane that wasn't as good, I know how I'd choose. I worked hard at being a good pilot because I love to fly. If you love what you're doing, you'll get pretty good at it. Flying has been the motivation for all the changes in my career. Rank or pay never really mattered that much to me. I loved being in the Air Force because that's where all the good airplanes were. I logged over 12,000 hours in all sorts of planes because flying was fun. Unfortunately, many people don't consider fun an important item on their daily agenda, and unlike flying, learning how to take pleasure from living can't be taught. Now you have the chance to enjoy hours of flying too. Pleasure is a key thing. You want to experience some of the thrill of flying in a way that doesn't mean going out and joining the Air Force or paying for expensive lessons or possibly buying the farm. So fire up Advanced Flight Trainer and climb into the cockpit of the plane that suits you the most. Go ahead and fly at full throttle. Whatever you do, you'll live to fly another day.